Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Who is Christ? What is Christ? Regardless of how you ask it, it is of paramount importance to our civilization, to our age, to our children, and to ourselves. It is important whether we realize the extent of that importance or not. As the conflict against Christianity expands in this world, this question is asked more and more by the young, friends and enemies and everyone. Some say one thing, others say something else. We need the truth set before us, dear friend, concerning Christ, probably more than ever before. Most all agree that Jesus of Nazareth lived on the earth, although there be some who would even deny that. Some of the bitterest enemies of the Lord contend he is but a fable and but a myth character, created out of Jewish folklore and imagination, with stories invented about him by his friends and expanded as time progressed. But most are not so blind to the evidence of his life and his existence on earth. They agree he was a real person, having human faculties and walked among his fellow men. But there is strong disagreement as to who Jesus is or was. This question deals with his deity, not simply his humanity. Was he merely another man, even though exceptional, but nothing more? Did he exist as a conscious being before his birth by Mary? Does he live now? If he is more than merely another human being, of what rank is he? What kind of being was he while here on earth? Was he truly God in the flesh, endowed with all the distinctive attributes of deity, yet his own separate and distinct personality? Such matters may well extend beyond the grasp of human reasoning and human comprehension. We're compelled to rely upon testimony and witnesses who saw him, who heard him, who wrote concerning this matter. It is the Bible to which we must turn, and for there and only there can we find reliable testimony concerning the nature of Christ and the significance to us. The Scriptures teach that he was God as well as man. Now, in some respects, even while here on earth, he was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In other respects, he was distinct, and particularly so while in human form. Let us consider the biblical evidence that he was God as well as man. His names were given to deity. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In this prophecy concerning Christ, there is no question that the prophet gave him identifications denoting deity. In John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1 identifies the Word as the one that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Indeed, deity is assigned to him here. But in Hebrews 1 and verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Here the Son is called explicitly by the term God. The name Jehovah is considered to be the most sacred of all the names given to deity. But Jesus is included in that name. In Psalm 83, verse 17 and 18, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And this is the same point that is made in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, and in Psalm 97 and verse 7 regarding Jehovah. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship him, all ye gods. And in Hebrews 1 and verse 6, the inspired writer refers to these very passages and apply them to the Son of God. Friend, there is no question, but the Scriptures assert deity concerning Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Well, this is an obvious reference in prophecy to the work of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, in Matthew 3, 1 through 3. Isaiah called the one before whom John would go as God. He would call him Jehovah. All these names attribute to Jesus, the names of deity. And the scriptures also ascribe to Jesus the power, the honors, and the rights that belong only to deity. Jesus has the power of creation. Genesis 1 and verse 1 tells us that God created. But John 1, 1 through 3 tells us all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And this had reference to the word that became Christ, or became flesh, which is the Christ. Concerning Christ, Paul wrote, who created all things by Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3, 8 and 9. And again, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, Colossians 1, 16 and 17, with reference to the Son of God, also asserts him to be God. Likewise, Hebrews 1 and verse 10 asserts his creative power. Friend, only deity is the proper object of worship. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And yet, this honor is given to the Son of God, John 5, 22 and 23. And again in Hebrews 1 and verse 6, let all the angels of God worship him. And again we read, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And notice that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Surely no additional evidence is needed to show that Jesus Christ is a proper object of worship. Such was to be given him as recorded in Revelation 19 and verse 10, and again Revelation 22 and verse 9. Deity also has exclusive rights and prerogatives which others do not. Yet Christ possessed these things of deity. The general tone and scope of the Bible is that God has the right to forgive sins. Dear listener, is it not evident that Jesus both claimed that right and he exercised that right while here upon this earth, Luke 5, 20 through 25? And in addition to the names of Christ denoting deity, the power and the honors and the rights denoting deity, the scriptures frequently represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as coordinate agents in such works as the creation, and in providence, and the redemption of man. These three make up the Godhead, or Godhood, and are in oneness. As for Jesus, Colossians 1 and verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I think it's interesting to note that the term Elohim of Genesis 1 and verse 1 in the Hebrew language is translated God, that it is a plural word. All three persons of the Godhead are included in that word. Genesis 1 and verse 26 we read, let us make man in our image. That expresses the plurality of the Godhead. The Father was involved, Psalm 102 verse 25. The Holy Spirit was involved, Genesis 1 and verse 2 and Job 26 verse 13. And the Son was involved, John 1, 1 through 3. So all three are included in the plural term God. And this same relationship is expressed in the authority for baptism in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And again, all three are included in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The scriptures further ascribe to Jesus Christ as on an equality with the Father and one with him. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, John 5, 17 and 18. Again, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being man, makest thyself God. John 10:30-33. And we read, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet ye have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? John 14:8-9. And there are other passages that teach that Jesus and the Father are one, such as in Philippians 2:5-8, John 17:20-21. Nothing could be stated with greater plainness and clarity than these words that we find in Scripture of the oneness of the Godhead and Jesus being on equality with the Father. But do not the Scriptures speak of Christ as being inferior to the Father? For instance, Hebrews 2:9. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. And again in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. We read in John 14:28, Ye have heard how that I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now it is certainly true that these passages indicate an inferiority of Christ relative to the Father, at least at some sense and at some time. And as we seek understanding, we must first realize that God's Word does not contradict itself. So there is a sense in which the Son was inferior to the Father. But this had reference to his humanity, not his deity. The very relationship of the Father and the Son implies a greater and a lesser in some sense. But there is no doubt that he who became flesh, the one who dwelt among us, was deity. His inferiority in the flesh was for a specific purpose, and that purpose of dying on behalf of mankind. And that only underscores the teaching that Jesus was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. Other biblical evidences of the deity of this person should be studied, such as his birth by the Virgin Mary, the manner of his works, his words, his miracles, the way he fulfilled prophecies. Of course, there is the resurrection by which he was declared to be the Son of God, Romans 1:4. But all these are deserving of special study in themselves. We have in this lesson noticed some of the candid and explicit declarations of Scripture that proclaim the nature of Jesus Christ as simultaneously, while he was here on earth, being of dual nature, humanity and deity. And what is this to us? It means that what he said is true. It means that his commands must be obeyed. He has authority, and we are accountable and subject unto him. We shall give an account of our lives before him. It means we are answerable to him for what we say and what we do and what we think. Our salvation depends upon our disposition toward him and our individual lives. That is the significance to us of the nature of Jesus Christ. If he had never lived, or was nothing more than just another splendid human being, the whole matter would be drastically changed. But inasmuch as Jesus of Nazareth was God's Son on earth and now reigns in heaven, our responsibilities regarding him are awesome. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.